Scripture reading this evening will be from Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. If, therefore, you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
If you have a Bible and like to follow along, you can turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll be spending most of our time in Romans chapter 12 tonight. You know, when I leave here on November the 19th, going back home, this is where I'm headed. This is my house. Put my house there because my family would have killed me if I put their picture up. But I am going home, and I'm always traveling, as you guys know. I'm always gone. I always look forward to going home. And as Christians, we should feel the same way. We need to realize that this world is not our home. Just like the song says, I'm just a passing through. And so that one day we're going to go home. And I had Chris read over in Revelation tonight, because Revelations, in the early part there of the book, it talks to the seven churches of Asia. And they have kind of a unique perspective in that while they were still walking on this earth, Christ said, "Here's how you're doing," and gave them a chance to clear things up. That's a pretty unique opportunity, which we don't really have Christ giving us direct feedback on how we live. But look at the feedback that they got. Just taking the part of that that we want to look at. And by the way, I'll be using the New King James Version tonight. "I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you're dead. You have a reputation for being alive. Everybody thinks that you're alive, but in reality, what I see is that you're dead. So can we go home to heaven if we're dead on this earth, spiritually? No. So what I want to focus on tonight is making sure that we're alive. Because if we're alive here on this earth spiritually, then whether we die or the Lord comes, we're going to be able to go home and live with Him forever in heaven. And I think Paul was really getting to the same point when he looked in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, "I beseech," or "I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which," he says, by the way, "is your reasonable service," considering what Christ has done for us. But then it says, "and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed." Now that's a pretty big statement right there in such a small little area. It's easy to be conformed to the world and be like the world, but he says we can't do that. We have to be transformed. Well, how are we going to be transformed then, Paul? Well, he tells us, "by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So how can we renew our minds tonight so that we're sure that we're going to be able to go home and live with Christ forever? Well, just a little bit further down in the Scriptures, I think Paul answers that question. Obviously, the way we renew our mind is to keep our minds in the Word of God. But I think we skip down to verse 9, and we're not going to have time to go over every verse because it's kind of a short lesson, but I have picked out a few things to discuss. Let us see how Paul said that we should be living, and then we can examine our lives and make sure that we're living the way that we should. And verse 9 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy." So that's an important thing there, that we need to make sure that we love everyone and not withhold the Scriptures from some and give it to others. But he says, "Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good." hate what is evil and cling to what is good. I think this is a very good measuring stick to determine if we're alive or not. When we see something on TV that we shouldn't see, how quick are we to turn the channel? Do we get right on it, or do we kind of just lag just a little bit before I hit the button? Am I seeing how much I can get away with, or am I trying to live like Christ? If I know there's a big drop-off over there, I can tell you for sure I'm not going to go anywhere near it. I'm going to stay as far away as I can. Are we doing that as Christians? We know that the line of acceptability is right here. How close to that line am I going to get? Am I trying to get as close to the line without stepping over? Well, if we are, then our focus is completely on the wrong thing. Because here it says, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. If we hate what's evil, then most of the things that are occurring in the world are not going to, we're not going to find those enjoyable, are we? Let's keep going. And by the way, we're going to end with kind of that same thought. Then look in verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. That's pretty simple when we sum it up. Put each other first. You know, it feels good when somebody defers to you, like you come in the door and somebody says, oh, hey, there's so-and-so. Here's what he did today. That feels good, doesn't it? When you come into a meeting at work or something. Well, why don't we treat each other that way in the church? That's what we're told to do. Put each other first. Give preference to one another. Then he says in verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now I've kind of summed that up. Serve the Lord with diligence. Number one, we need to not lag in diligence, which means we need to be doing the work, right? So that's kind of what we say here, working with God, working for God. I have to spend some effort, some time, some energy working for God. You know, if I'm planning on going home and resting, an old Southern preacher one time says, if you ain't tired, you don't need no rest. So if we're not working here on this earth, what do we need to go to heaven to rest for? God expects us to do His work. But not just do any work, not just work how we think it needs to be done. We need to do God's work God's way. It's not good enough for me to say, well, this is how I want to worship God there. This is what I think you need to do to be saved. It doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what God thinks. And Christ has already laid out what He wants us to do. So we need to do God's work His way. Continuing on, we can drop down and look in verse 12. And it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. I can tell you for sure, after reading the life of Christ, the Son of God, the one who came down from heaven to live on this earth, do you notice how much He prayed? When I study Christ's life, I realize I don't pray nearly enough. No matter how much I pray, I'm not praying enough. If Christ needed to pray as much as He did. But here it tells us that we need to give to the needy and be given hospitality in the next verse. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given the hospitality. That doesn't mean every once in a while we open our doors, we have a potluck, or we begrudgingly let someone come over. We need to have our house open and be hospitable to others. Not just with our homes, but be willing to go help people when they need it. That's what it's talking about. Give to the needy and being hospitable. Then it says in verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's a little bit harder to do, isn't it? When somebody's mistreating me, sometimes it's a little difficult to bless them. And then especially when they start messing with my family. It's very difficult for me to follow that scripture right there. Because I know for a fact that I get very upset when people start messing with my family. But it says, bless those who persecute you and do not curse them. And then verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We should be happy with those who have good circumstances, and we should comfort those who have bad circumstances. Because believe it or not, as we go through life, we're going to be in both camps, aren't we? We're going to have times when we rejoice, and we have times when we sorrow. And then verse 16 is another important one. Be of the same mind toward one another. If we're all working toward going to heaven, then we're all going to kind of have that same mind if we're really given to the truth. So it says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. And then it says, do not be wise in your own opinion. You know, I was reading this verse the other day, and I think, you know, I had a little idea that it might mean this. You know, I'm going to go with that. Well, that's my opinion. Does the rest of the Scriptures back that up? That's the opinion that we should have. You know, sometimes the church is split over some silly little issue that really, by a cursory reading of a couple of Scriptures, you can figure out what's going on. Try not to be wise in your own opinion. Give so much credence to your own opinion. Follow the opinion of God. This says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So once again, try to live peaceably with all men. We shouldn't go around picking fights with people at home or at work or anywhere else. We should be a peaceable people as God's children. And then we get down, we're going to skip down to the end. Don't avenge yourselves. Christ is going to avenge you. Sometimes that's hard to do as well. But let's drop down to verse 21, because I think we kind of come full circle again. Do not be overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. We started out saying, hate what is evil and cling to what is good, didn't we? And now we're back to that same thought. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's easier to be overcome by evil if you're on your own, if you're trying to fight the good fight alone. Do you have to fight the Christian fight alone? No. I'm looking out and I see brothers and sisters here who, if I'm having trouble, I should be able to come and get your help. I don't have to seek it alone. I don't have to fight alone. Sometimes I'm really weak and need some help. And I should be able to do that. That's how we overcome evil with good. So when we look at all those things tonight, are we ready to go home? Are we really doing those things? Do we really hate what is evil? Are we alive in Christ? Because if we're alive in Christ, then we can be ready to go home when the time comes. If you've not obeyed the Scriptures tonight, then you're not ready to go home. And you're not ready not because that's what I think, but because that's what Christ said. Christ demands that we hear what He has to say and believe that He is the Son of God. Repent of our sins, confess Him before others, and then be immersed in the watery grave of baptism. Just as He died on the cross, we have to die in the watery grave and arise a new creature. And then our work is not done. We have to continue to live the Christian life until either we die or till He comes again. But just like Chris read over in Revelation chapter 3, I think most of us have probably already done that. So if we haven't been living right, if we're not ready to go home tonight, then you don't have to go home to your house without making it right tonight. We can just repent. That's what Christ told the church in Revelation chapter 3. He says, repent and turn to God. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, then do so while we stand and sing.